These reports were given by the United States Embassy, whose president called the King of Iran a unique, wise, and epic-making leader before his downfall. The third source in which the Pahlavis earned their money was via commercial activities. They received substantial loans from banks and governmental institutes without leaving a good guarantee or paying back one rial of those loans. The fourth source of wealth for the king's family was named the Pahlavi Foundation. This foundation received more than $40 million annually from the National Treasury and was a good place for collusion and tax evasion. The Pahlavi Foundation had shares in 207 companies, the most important of which were 8 mining companies, 10 cement companies, 17 banks and insurance companies. This foundation was established in 1958 and had 100% of the shares of the Development Bank, the wealth of which amounted to more than $1.1 billion. Development Bank was established in 1952 to help the development of the country and the selling of royal lands, as well as collecting the farmers' debts to be given to the king. However, in 1971, its major responsibility was to buy and sell lands, making the various members of the royal family wealthy. Later, it was evident that the Mining and Industrial Development Bank of Iran had paid a $570 million loan to the relatives of the king and the institutions that belonged to the Pahlavi Foundation. This amount of money is twice the amount reported in 1978 of the $215 million capital of this bank. These contracts, which were against the laws of Iran, were never recorded and had no guarantee. These affairs were carried out by the authority of the Pahlavi court, and the king considered no limitations when it came to the members of his family. Ashraf, the unrestrained twin sister of the king, did everything to achieve her goals. In one case, a loan which was apparently given to her for a hotel in Tehran was deposited to the account of an Israeli counseling company in Luxembourg. Mir Jafar Behbahanian, the king's personal banker who was in charge of the financial affairs of the Pahlavi court, supervised the organization of the king's properties in foreign banks. Supervising the properties of the king was done as secretly as possible. In this way, the people who were familiar with the history of this family weren't very surprised when the staff union of the Central Bank of Iran published a list in the fall of 1978 of at least $13 billion foreign exchange sent out of Iran by the government officials of the king. However, it did inflict a terrible shock on the reputation of the Pahlavi family. This amount of money was taken out of Iran in the short period between September to October 1978. Now, 30 years after those events, the existence of some names in that list seem very cautionary.
مردم دلیر با آزاده کشور شاهنشاهی ایران.
Marshal Azhari is on this list for taking 150 valuable carpets and $170 million out of Iran. After this theft, Marshal Azhari intended to fight against the previous corruption by declaring a curfew from November the 4th. Some of the other people on this list include Major General Muzayyan, the representative of the court in Gurgaon, for taking out $350 million, Ms. Bahzadeh, the charter holder of Kayhan newspaper, for taking out $450 million, Islaminia, Hoveida's counselor, for taking out $200 million, Ghulam Reza Kianpur, the ex-minister of justice, for taking out $95 million, Parviz Sabiti, the famous security official of Savak, for taking out $75 million, and Sharif Emami, the ex-prime minister, for taking out $250 million.
به من پیشنهاد کردن که هر چقدر میخواید بهتون میدم، خواهش میکنم بذارید من برم. گفتم که نمیشه. بعدن کتشون رو در آوردیم. کتشون رو که در آوردیم با قیچی اینا پاره کردیم، دیدیم که بله داخل پارچه برلیان و جواهرات و زمرد و از این چیزا به اصطلاح گذاشتن.
ممکنه آقا رو معرفی کرده و بفرمی که به کجا میخواستن برن؟
ایشون مقصدشون فرانکفورت بود، بعد نیویورک و لس آنجلس و...
مگه من تنها بردم؟ همه مردم دارن میبرن.
آقای مدخلی،
حالا یک بنده مثلا یه مقدار مختصری چیز آوردم، این تشکیلات، این حرفات، این صحبت ها، روزی هزارها نفر مسافر انواع و اقسام از این فرودگاه میرن، ولی خانم بنده که یه گوشواره یا یه انگشتر یا یه گردنبند داره به زور او رو ازش میگیرن و هزار جور هم به ما توهین میکنن.
In the fall of 1978, there was no family on the face of the earth as disreputable as the Pahlavi family. The important point was that the Pahlavi family hadn't experienced reputation for a long time. Now, after three decades, presenting the figures stolen from the national treasury by the Pahlavis does not suffice, and deeper layers of their behavior should be investigated and analyzed. On approaching the very last days of their government and a couple of years after their leaving Iran, they all denied having such wealth. In his interview with Barbara Walters in New York Hospital, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said, "I'm not a wealthy man. Of course, I'm not poor either. My wealth is between $50 to $100 million. Considering the rumors about taking huge sums of money out of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi said, "Iranian people do not understand how much $1 billion is." Now, 30 years later, we can ask the Pahlavi family how they could live so wealthily in complete welfare in the most expensive region of the United States for three decades without a job or expertise. But the more important question is, how can a person be a thief of the national treasury of his own country? The most difficult task of a thief or burglar may not only be climbing the wall of a house or opening a safe or plundering a caravan. Perhaps the most difficult task of a thief or burglar is to convince himself to do something which is condemned by the conscience of a good person of any religion. A person can steal something from his own house only when he doesn't consider himself as a member of that house. The Pahlavi family had solved this problem for themselves long ago. A government starts plundering when they consider themselves separate and alien from the people. This alienation from the people was the obvious characteristic of the Pahlavi family. A lot of evidence indicates that Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's hesitation in leaving the country in the fall of 1978 was not only an effort to find a solution out of the political deadlock, but also to seek the opportunity to gather and take out his windfall wealth. What happened to the Pahlavi family is the inevitable destiny of all the governments which don't consider themselves responsible toward their people. On January 15, 1979, Mohammad Reza, as the second Pahlavi king, had to leave Iran disgracefully like his father. He had stolen so much property from his people that no king before him had. He had even lied to his own staff at the palace and said that he would come back soon.
در اون روزی که آخرین روزی که شاه در ایران بود، ما در کاخ نیاوران بودیم. زمستان بود. شاه از اتاق خوابش اومد بیرون، با آسانسور اومد طبقه پایین. خب ما میدونستیم که شاه تقریبا آخرین ساعاتی رو داره میگذرونه که در ایرانه. همه نگران بودیم و در سالن پایین منتظر بودیم. من بودم، چند نفر از سرایدارها بودن، چند نفر آبدارچی و پیشخدمتها بودن که منتظر بودیم. شاه که اومد از آسانسور ما رو دعوت کرد به طرف خودش، یعنی با باز کردن دو تا دستاش ما رو طلبید به طرف خودش. ما هم خب رفتیم طرفش و خب نگران، ناراحت. یه صحبت خیلی کوتاهی با ما کرد، گفت ناراحت نباشید، هر چیزی بخواد اتفاق بیفته میفته، کسی دخیل نیست، شما سعی کنید کارهاتون رو طبق سابق انجام بدید، کارتون هرچی هست بیاید سر کارتون، اینجا رو ترک نکنید. یه سخنرانی خیلی کوتاه کرد و تقریبا میشه گفت تمام افرادی که داخل کاخ بودن، که شاید یه چیزی حدود 15 نفر ما بیشتر نبودیم، یعنی این عده در 15 نفر دائم در کاخ بودیم، ما بیرون کاخ بودن باغبان و غیره و زارک و اینا، ولی سرایدار، کسانی که در داخل کاخ آبدارچی بودن، پیشخدمت بودن، گارد بودن، یه چیزی حدود 10-12 نفر، در بعضی مواقع تا 15 نفر بیشتر نمی شدیم. ما داخل کاخ این صحبتو که شاه با ما کرد، از درک خارج شد، دیدیم که ملکه از سمت چپ از پله ها اومد پایین. چند نفر از پیشخدمت ها باز ایستاده بودن به صف و من هم در کنار اینا واستاده بودم. ملکه گفتش که ما باید بریم ولی به سر اعلیحضرت بر می گردیم. این حرفی بود که خود من شنیدم. دوبار اینو تکرار کرد. بر می گردیم. شما بیاید سر کارتون. کاخ رو ترک نکنید. این زمان سابق که ما بودیم شما بیاید همین.
But she was carrying 386 suitcases and big boxes, which showed they were not going on vacation, but that they were escaping from their people.